Hey there friends, thanks for joining me again. I'm Frugal Green Girl, and today I want to share with you just a really quick recipe for a homemade antibiotic ointment. There are lots of reasons why different people may choose to make an antibiotic ointment. Some people are allergic to the traditional ones. You know, when they use them, they'll get hives or you know, redness, itching, swelling, things like that. You know, contact dermatitis and other things. And so if that's something that is an issue for you, if you're allergic to it, you know, a homemade option may be a good option for you. Another reason why some people may choose to not use the commercial versions is because of the fact that those have chemical antibiotics in them mixed with a petroleum jelly base, which is not all that natural, and so making your own makes it so you can control the ingredients in it, and you can make a very safe and effective product without having to have all of those chemicals or petroleum and things like that that are actually absorbing into our skin whenever we put them on our skin and on ourselves. So I have a very natural, you know, version here. Hopefully you'll like it. And then another reason why some people use or would like to switch over to some other products from the traditional ones is because of the outbreak of superbugs. More and more hospitals are encountering different types of bacteria that have become, they've kind of mutated to where they're actually resistant to antibiotics, and so the overuse of antibiotic anything is kind of causing these superbugs to become more and more common, and it's kind of becoming a problem. So the drug companies are coming out with, you know, newer products that are actually even more toxic and worse than, you know, some of the traditional ones. And so, you know, with all that in mind, switching things up so that the bugs have something else that are killing them instead, but without it being so toxic, is, you know, possibly even more important now than ever. And then of course, you know, the last reason why some people may choose to make their own homemade antibiotic ointment is because it's a lot cheaper. Some of the stuff at the store is $3, $4, $5 a little tube, and so if you've been following my channel for any amount of time, you probably already have a lot of these products on hand, you know, the ingredients that go in, that would go into this product. So, you know, it may cost you nothing, and if you need some, you just make it instead of having to buy something. I switch it up a little bit. Some people, you know, may prefer to put it in some sort of a little jar or a little Tupperware type thing or something like that, and I've tried that. But the way that I found it was most effective to use this was actually putting it into a chapstick tube. I really like the chapstick tube method because I don't have to touch the ointment in it. When I was putting it into a little jar, I would have to, you know, somehow scoop it out in order to put it on the Band-Aid or the cut or whatever. So I found it to be more effective to put it into the chapstick tube so that when you have, say, a Band-Aid or whatnot, you just take it, open the cap, of course, advance it a little bit, and then just rub it onto the Band-Aid, and then you can stick it on it. And so nothing gets into this to cause it to have any bacteria, you know, coming in contact with this. So it keeps everything clean. You know, you don't have any worries of this actually spreading bacteria or anything like that. So you can use whatever it is you want to put it into. Personally, I find this to be the most easy to use. And also, it's really lightweight. I can take a recipe, it makes 5 of these little tubes, and I can throw one in my purse and just whatnot, so I don't have to take a big old jar with me everywhere, because I do have kids, so, you know, I do like to be prepared and have things like Band-Aids and, you know, an antibiotic ointment and stuff like that on hand for when they need it. So, that's the recipe. I'm going to share the recipe with you in a minute. One quick thing though before we get started, there is coconut oil in the recipe. There's actually oil, you know, to make it thinner, coconut oil, beeswax, and then some essential oil. And all of those, the items have purposes. And of course, like all my videos, I'm going to explain the reason behind all of the purposes of the ingredients so that you know what you may be able to omit and what's actually really important to add. And one of the ingredients is the coconut oil. One thing I would change about the recipe, if you are allergic to coconut oil, you can use, or just don't want to use it in general, you can actually just use all regular oil, like I'm going to explain in a second in the video, when we're putting it together. So that's a possibility. And also, if your coconut oil is in a liquid state, if it's maybe summertime or you just live somewhere where it's really warm, change the recipe up and add 2 teaspoons of beeswax, rather than just the 1 teaspoon. because it won't be thick enough if your coconut oil is in a liquid state. If it's in a solid state like this, it's actually going to help to thicken the recipe, and so just 1 teaspoon of beeswax is necessary. And then as far as the oils go, like I'll explain, it doesn't really matter what types of oils you use. The recipe I'm about to make is going to use rose hipseed oil, which actually helps reduce scarring. So this type of ointment isn't just going to kill the bacteria, it's actually going to help obviously aid in the healing and also help reduce scarring, which is even an added bonus. Plus, with the essential oils that I'm going to be adding, you know, one of the oils I add is wintergreen, which is going to help with pain relief. So it's going to be a pretty well-rounded product. I really hope you enjoy it, and it has a lot of multi-purposes to it, and it's really easy to make. So let's go ahead and get started. Okay friends, we're going to go ahead and get started making our antibiotic ointment. So the first thing you're going to need is some kind of a pot or something to put the water in, and then like a Pyrex dish or something like that, that you can measure your ingredients into it. What we're basically doing here is making a makeshift double boiler. So next thing you're going to do is add the ingredients. The first thing is going to be some grated beeswax. We're going to need 1 teaspoon of the grated beeswax, and then we're going to add some oils. I'm going to use 2 teaspoons of coconut oil. Coconut oil has some natural antibiotic properties of its own, and there's even some studies out there that have shown that it's good for antibiotic resistant bacteria and things like that. So the next thing you're going to add is 4 teaspoons of whatever oil you want. This is not real important as far as which oil you choose. It just needs to be there to make the whole mixture nice and liquidy and soft so that it can carry the essential oils, the main thing that's going to be the antibiotic, the whole thing that's going to make this an antibiotic ointment, but without it, you know, being too thick or just straight, you know, essential oils. So you need 4 teaspoons of oil total. For this particular recipe and for this time, I'm just going to use 3 of almond oil, and then I'm going to use 1 teaspoon of rose hipseed oil. And the reason I'm going to use rose hipseed oil is because it's good for helping to fight scarring. Okay, and next thing we're going to need is the essential oils. I'm going to use, the recipe calls for between 8 and 10 drops of tea tree oil. Somewhere in there is fine. And then 5 drops of a lavender essential oil. 5 drops of wintergreen. Now, both of these have strong antibiotic, properties, antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. And then the lavender has some properties for helping to fight pain. And then the wintergreen is mainly here to help with the pain. And then the last ingredient is going to be 1 vitamin E capsule, and that's to make sure our oils over here don't go rancid. So now that you've measured all of that into your pot, I'm just going to put this on the stove and heat it up until everything melts together. Okay, so here it is now. Everything is all thoroughly mixed together or melted. And so I've gone ahead and removed that from the heat. And the next thing is obviously to just pour it into whatever container it is you want to use. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to go ahead and use the chapstick tubes just because they're the most convenient in my opinion. But you could also use just like a small Tupperware type thing. You could use a small canning jar. Just whatever it is you choose to put it in, make sure it's been thoroughly sterilized. Just put it in a pot of hot water or boiling water for a few minutes. You know, sometimes it can take up to 5 minutes. That's what I would recommend, is hot boiling water for 5 minutes, or water that has been boiling. It doesn't have to be actively boiling. That would melt the plastic. So water that, it boiled, and then take it and remove it from the heat, and then you can put in whatever it is you're going to be putting it into. And then thoroughly let it dry out. It's really important that there's absolutely no water left, so make sure this is maybe done the night before or something so it has a chance to thoroughly dry out. And then the next thing we do is just pour it in there and we're finished. Okay, so there they are. You just fill them up, lid them up, and use them as you need them. It is shelf stable, so you don't have to put them in the fridge or anything. Once these cool down, they'll be a lot thicker and they'll kind of solidify some. And it'll work out really well. You can keep it in your medicine cabinet or in your purse, wherever it is you want to keep them. You don't have to, again, keep them in the fridge. So I hope you found this video helpful. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.